What up, what up, what up? We are back in the studio, and we got a good one for you today, boys and girl. Cody, Saturday morning, what is this, like a fucking brunch time,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, dude, this is good, man. We need some mimosas for this, dude, a little brioche or something.
Right on, right on. I got Gray back in the studio running the cameras, gonna make that magic happen today, but... First things first, before I announce my guest, I want a big shout out to my company called Killcliff right now. My guest is actually the first time he drank it, and he's fucking loving it. I want to say that this podcast is brought to you by Killcliff. Today, you type in that GU15 and save 15% on your next quarter or next order. I might be still fucking drunk from last night.
English, bro. Speak.
I know. All right. Well, with further ado, I definitely want to give you guys a heads up that this is a good buddy of mine. And we have plenty of good stories for you in store. But right now, we got to bring him in.
Blue corner, a freestyle fighter with a professional record standing at 7 wins and 2 defeats. At 6'3" tall, he weighed in officially 204 pounds even.
Yay!
Bro, where did you find that?
I got my sources, bro. I got my sources.
That was a nice little surprise. Huh?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
This corner's the internet for that one.
Yeah, the internet wins every time. Right on. So this is what I want to tell you, guys. We got Cody Donovan. Fuck, Cody, we were just talking, like, what? How long have we known each other now?
So I was guessing, like, 2005, 2006. I know we were training together before you moved here, right? You were living,
right.
Living
I would. I was coming up here back and forth with, what the fuck was that place called?
TKO.
Yep, and that's where it was at, though.
If you know, you know. You know, TKO. Shit, good shit was happening to TKO.
Dude, I found a couple pictures that will pop up here shortly. But yeah, dude, it was. That was like the fucking wolf pack back then. That was like, it was Greg Jackson's tees.
Yep. It was a special thing, right? Because it was Nate Marquardt had this like squad of dudes, and then Dwayne Ludwig had this squad of dudes, and we would all, there wasn't really an MMA team, so everybody met at TKO, right?
Yep.
And that fucking squad. I mean, yeah, look at that, dude. GSP.
Yeah, so picture, there's a picture we brought up of...
Bro.
Fuck, this was just probably average Saturday morning,
yeah,
right? Sparring
Saturday.
Day. Yep. And in this picture, I mean, fuck. I mean, look at those killers, dude.
Yeah. Fucking Toner.
Tyler, you got me and you next to each other, and then GSP right next to me.
Alvin.
Fucking, look at Shane Carwin's. Look at, what's his name? Right next to Shane.
Schaub.
Yeah, look at Brandon him.
Schaub.
Chad,
remember Chad?
What is up with Chad? What's he doing?
I don't know, bro. Chad was the man. Chad would always do this thing when I would talk to him. He'd go, so you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and he would like do it to the tone of what I was saying.
Oh,
I'd be
dude.
Like, hey, Chad. He'd go,
dude, it's crazy. So,
yeah, that was a good times, man. Good times.
It is definitely, I mean, those are like right there, like all those moments right there. Like, I'm so glad somebody was be able to take a picture.
Yep.
At that time. You know what I mean? Because, like, who would have thought, like, guys that like, we trained with, you know?
Bro, and the shit we learned in that room is priceless, dude. Priceless.
Yeah, I learned that definitely that Dwayne could fucking kick my fucking ass a lot.
Remember, bro, on Thursdays we'd do circles.
Right? Oh, dude, those were the worst.
Yeah, where you were stuck in and you had to fight three fresh dudes. I remember this circle where I'm sparring Shane Carwin.
Mm-hmm.
Who's obviously like scary as fuck, right? But I'm not even paying attention to that. In the corner of my eye, I'm watching Dwayne just pacing like a tiger
waiting
outside.
For
yeah, because he's the
next
round. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. Fucking Dwayne's coming in.
I would get so scared for those.
Yeah.
Fuck a fight.
Yeah.
I was nervous about I was worried about fucking circles.
If you survived Dwayne on a Thursday, you could survive anything.
Dude, I remember there was times where Dwayne would stop me with a knee or a kick to my body and I would hit the fucking canvas. and he would still fuck me up, dude. I can't even breathe. And like, it's just way different the way he is now. Like, I see him coaching than the way he was as a fighter. Like,
as a training partner, he was a savage.
He was a fucking beast, bro. It was not fun.
No.
It was not fun. And that first week when I moved up here, Dwayne goes, I'll pick you up in the morning, drive you around, and we'll go get our training on, right? Dude, after the fucking third day, I was like, dude, I'm going to learn how to drive my own ass to all these places because I can't train with him like that, dude. He was going fucking back and forth. We'd go fucking do jiu-jitsu in the morning, fucking go run trails at Red Rock in the afternoon, and then go train at T's at night, and I was spent, dude. We'd go make a pit stop. The best spot we could make was at when we went to Brother's Barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He liked to do pho after sparring. Too. Yep. Remember doing pho a couple times.
Yep.
He was a generous dude, though, man. I mean,
I
can honestly say that, like, early on in my fight career, every piece of gear that I owned, he gave me. Like, he'd go open his trunk. He had, like, a Fairtex sponsorship and stuff
and
like
tap out. We'd fucking go slang that shit left bro. And right.
Everything I was wearing, he gave me. He was a very generous.
I remember those orange shorts. You had the same ones. I think we all wore them in the same fight.
Yeah.
Were you on that Strikeforce card with us?
No, I never fought in Strikeforce.
Yeah, so there was somebody else that had it. I think you cut me up. You made those shorts for me, too, Cody. Yeah. You singed them up.
And Dwayne. I made Dwayne's, too.
Yeah, the orange one. Yeah, that's right. It's crazy to see him, huh?
I know, bro.
I know, huh?
It's great.
It's like some things like I've known Cody for just as long as you have, probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. LA Boxing.
I met you guys at the same, basically, in the same week.
Yeah.
Yep.
And for those of you guys that don't know, Skinny Codes was a product of Big Cody, regular Cody Donovan, because he was so tired of everybody saying, Cody.
Yeah, so I was like, he is Skinny Cody.
Yeah, there's a difference. I'm Cody.
You're Skinny Cody.
And then we had one more Cody, too. We had a third Cody.
Yeah,
we
did.
Little him. Cody in around
the gym. Yeah. I wonder what he's up to. I miss that dude, too. Yeah, he's a good-ass dude, too.
Yeah.
There was, so before we hop in this real podcast a little bit, Cody, tell everybody, like, what do you do now? Like, obviously, you're retired. What year did you retire fighting?
Last fight was in Ireland. So whenever that was, I'd guess, maybe 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to hang it up. My body wasn't holding up. I was watching a couple of, a couple of close friends, old training partners, who maybe.
All right. Now you can move that.
Who many, maybe got hit too many times or whatever. And I didn't want to go down that road. I was starting to see some of that stuff and had shit I wanted to do, right? Wanted to coach, wanted to have a gym, and, that's what I'm doing now. I own the Aurora location for Eastern Training Centers. That's called High Altitude Martial Arts. That's Christian Allen and I. That's our gym. And then I'm one of the coaches on Elevation Fight Team, which is, one of the best fight teams.
One of the most world-renowned, teams out there, honestly. Yeah. I would say it's definitely top three for sure right now.
Yeah, for sure. And then I'm a dad, and I dad it full time,
I'm right there with you.
Dadding it up.
I said this last night on last night's podcast. I knew it was time for me to retire because I just lost that fucking fire, dude, of like, it wasn't so much about the fight. It was just more like training all like for that moment, for that thing. And fuck, dude. We definitely weren't the fucking making the money that they're making now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no way.
Although I remember seeing you
make I got a bonus.
Got a bonus in the UFC.
Yeah,
was that a fight in overseas or in Ireland? Was that Ireland fight?
Yeah, it was Australia. So
Australia, that was.
That was a fucked up fight though, bro.
Because I remember watching it early in the morning.
Yeah.
When you fought. Yeah.
Yeah. I fought it like, I basically fought at 7 o'clock in the morning in Australia and then whatever time they showed it here.
Yeah.
But that fight, dude, I took that fight on like 7 days notice and had to cut like 30 pounds. So I just had no juice on my brain. Every time I got touched in that fight, I fell down.
Really?
Somehow pulled it off, knocked the dude out, won a bonus.
Yep. 50 G's.
Yeah. And it was crazy because I flew to Australia. My checking account was literally overdrafted. It was like in the negative.
Yeah, dude. Which all fight. That's what I try to tell people. All fighters have been there. Like
that
fucking.
Was our life, yeah.
I'm a grown ass man. My fucking bank account is still negative.
Yep. Flew home.
Thank you for those Patreon fans, though. It's not no more. My wife loves me.
Yeah, so that was life changing, bro. You know.
Oh, no, it really is. That's. I was looking through a box of my old shit, fight stuff and everything, because I want to put like a wall up here when I redo the whole studio.
Yep.
And just like the pictures that I have up here, you know, like with GSP, us, you know, and I got a bonus from the UFC. It was a scary thing, and Dana White wrote me a letter, and it was after one of my fights, and I got a fucking bonus, and it was awesome, but it wasn't 50 G's, you know what I mean? Yeah, like what they're doing now. Yeah. It was 2,500.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, that was, I mean, it still is a lot of money, but for a fighter, fuck, dude, that was fucking awesome. I remember going down to Close Bill and popping bottles after that.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we did.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, fucking 2,500 bucks compared to the 50 G's you guys get now. I mean, that's why I Gaethje, he fucking wins two bonuses a night.
It's fucking awesome.
Fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah, dude, I got hit so hard in that Australia fight that I didn't know that I won. Mm-hmm. So I'm at the hospital because I had fractured my orbital lobe, and Elliot was out there with me.
Uh-huh.
And Elliot says, I keep going, oh, bro, I'm so fucking sorry, man. I'm sorry, man. I didn't win. He's like, shut up. You won, and you won a bonus. He had to, like, keep reminding me.
No way. Yeah, you got fucked up,
then. I got fucked up, right? I didn't even know I won. Took me probably 6 hours of repeating the same stuff before I was like, oh, yeah, I won. It's crazy, bro.
You got fucking melon rocked.
I mean, that's what happens when you cut 30 pounds.
Yeah, dude, it's not good like that at all. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Fuck, man. So, you know, you're one of the coaches at Elevation Fight Team.
Yep.
And I see you quite a bit now. And to me, it's just like the coaches I see in the room, you know, because it was all of us, the training partners, right? And, like, I got to give it to you guys because I don't want that lifestyle anymore. Like, me doing with Gaethje and me training at the gym, coaching, I can leave the coach. I can leave that room, and I'm content.
Yeah. Yeah.
I, you know, like, you guys are fucking gone a lot, dude.
Dude.
But you guys have some of the fucking... Yeah. Baddest motherfuckers in the sport right now.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be all in, right? I mean, I spent a month, literally, I was gone for a fucking month, bro. I had Austin Hubbard, was back for 2 days. Then I had Neil, was back for 2 days. Then I had Alistair Overeem, was back for 2 days. Then my muzzleloader season started. 4 weeks, dude. That was so hard to be away from my family that long, but... I love
it's
this
your
shit.
Job,
dude. I love it. It doesn't feel like work.
That's what we were saying last night too. Yeah.
I feel like all these suckers are going to work. I haven't gone to work once in the past 15 years.
That's exactly what I said. People, you know, say if you love what you do, it's not work. But I think it's different for us because, like, it's work in a total different way that when you really fucking know what you're doing. Like, it's a craft that we know, and we know what... That's why I say, like, sometimes coaches... Like, I think I'm a way better coach than I will ever be a fighter, was a fighter, right?
Yep.
But I had to go down that path as a fighter to realize what they're doing, right? Because I think there's a lot of coaches out there that's never fought and actually experienced it. And, you know, until you've been in that situation, you don't really know. Right, I mean, I think
that's right.
If you were what you guys got going right now at Elevation, there's not one person that hasn't stepped in that cage.
Yeah, a bunch of dudes that have walked the walk, that scrapped, that you know, that I mean, this is one really positive side to coaching. All the things I didn't get right when I was fighting, right, all the little things I screwed up, I could carry those around as like. You know, oh man, the rest of my life, or they become lessons for these dudes. Hey man, I did that. It didn't go well. Don't go down that road.
I've been there, done that, right? I know.
That's why Luke's a wealth of knowledge for that exact reason.
No, it's 100%. Straight
up. That's real talk, right?
It is because, like, the way I cut weight, the way I condition, the way I got ready for a fight was probably a checkbox on hell no. Hell no, hell no. You shouldn't be doing it.
And
the way we cut weight was probably the worst way.
Dude.
Compared to what we do now. And at the end of our career.
Yeah.
Right? We kind of got it right at the end of our career. But, dude, there was times where
I remember we had a rough weight cut up in Canada. We both fought the same night up in Montreal.
Oh, dude, I was a bitch. Elliot won't let me down on that one, dude.
I know. He always loves giving you shit about that.
But so does Trevor, though.
Like, give me out. We'd have to hold you in the sauna. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. The hot bath and shit.
I was like a bitch, dude. I hated cutting weight. Fucking hated it. But I don't know. Name some of the big fighters that people, like, I know you do Overeem.
Sure, yeah. So I'm the head coach for Overeem, right? And then kind of.
Which, how fucking cool is that?
Bro, it's still strange to me, right? So, you know, back in the day when we were at T-Scale, I was a security guard at Denver Health.
Yep.
And I almost got fired one time because they caught me in some, I snuck into this person's office at nighttime because they didn't have a code on their computer. And I was sitting in someone's office watching Alistair Overeem fight on the internet. Got caught, almost got fired, right? 20 years later, I'm his head coach.
Ain't that fucking... What the fuck? I know, dude.
Yeah.
It's so cool, fucking man. Crazy. Like, I see... Even when I go in there and I see him fucking training and, you know, he gives me what's up.
Yeah.
And then I see you over there coaching and rolling with him and doing this and that. Like, I got to sit back and, like, think. Like, now it's like... Damn, dude, this is fucking cool what we did.
Yeah.
It was fucking cool. It just blows my mind. Like, dude, this motherfucker was Mr. Pride.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, he's the pioneer of all pioneers still, and he's still doing it.
He's probably the greatest heavyweight of all time. And, like, there was all that talk about Stipe, DC, and, like, there's no arguing that Stipe was the champion enough times that he's on that fucking list. But who's done more than Alistair?
I don't know.
Obviously, I have a biased opinion, but he's done everything, bro. He's got one last thing to do, right?
I'm telling you, he's like right up there with like I think so highly of Krokop.
Yep.
Fedor.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
he's a pioneer and a legend
yeah.
in the sport already.
Dude, Alistair's cage IQ, it's insane.
Right?
Like,
really?
He trusts us as a coaching staff. He trusts our systems. He trusts our ideas. But we have to be able to trust his... Just that veteran knowledge. Like in that last fight, he was willing to lose the first two rounds. Like he comes back, I'm like, bro, you're losing the first two rounds. He's like, I know, I'm getting him tired. Like he just doesn't care. He's done it so many times. He's like, yeah, I'm getting him tired. I'm about to fuck him up. And then we turned it up.
And he just did it what he does. Yeah.
Bro, fourth round, gets the trip like 30 seconds in. And then, I mean.
Where was that fight at?
That was in Vegas.
In Vegas, right? Yeah, that's right.
He just had that one.
I've seen so many transformations with that dude. Like when he was fucking in overseas fighting in Pride.
He's just a giant.
Giant beast. And I loved it, dude.
Yeah, I give him a hard time about that all the time.
Yeah, he's just fucking.
I'm like, I got to put some size on, bro. Where do I get that horse meat? All that horse meat.
Oh, I need some horse meat. Yep. And either way, he's like, so he's from the Netherlands, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and
just south of Amsterdam.
Yeah, he was a fucking kickboxer coming in. And what you guys have done with him now, like when I see him go to the ground and fucking, you know, do the game plan perfectly, I'm like, fuck, dude, you guys are doing a good job.
Thanks, man. You know,
it's fucking cool.
I'm proud of the work we're doing and I'm super proud of him.
Yeah.
There's always this saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And Alistair does not like being called old, but he turned 40 in the cage two fights ago. Turned 40.
Are you shitting me?
Swear to God, 40
years old.
Yeah. And is a
what are you doing with yourself,
fucking monster.
He's a monster.
And I'm not going to take credit and say we taught him all that shit. We're just telling him how to prioritize it. Mm-hmm. What weapons to use, right? What weapons to use.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you got like... I mean, you have a ton of guys down there at Elevation.
Curtis Blades.
That's another fucking one right there.
That's my best horse in the race right there, bro. I started with him, you know, Vinny and I started working with him when he was young in his UFC career. He had one fight. Mm-hmm. He had fought Francis Ngannou as his opening fight, lost that fight, you know, got his eye swollen shut and the doctor stopped it and has gone on a rip since then. I don't, picking your favorite fighter is like picking your favorite kid. You can't do it.
Yeah.
But
you can tell him. It's all right.
I mean, you can say it's me.
I love working. Well, I love working coach. With Curtis.
You
bro.
Can tell him.
It's you. Right. It's you, Skinny
Thank
Cody.
You. Thank
yeah.
you.
bro, I love working with Curtis, man. It's some of the most gratifying work we're doing. The systems and stuff that these guys are using on the ground, Curtis is like the test subject, bro. He's the guinea pig. Like, we try some shit out, and we're like, hey, all right, let's see if this works with the lighter guys. And it's fun.
Really?
You know, being a coach is like, it's like building cars.
Yeah.
You know? So when that chassis comes through the door, when that's when Curtis Blades walks in, and you're like, this is what I get to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just luck. How about it? Really is.
Like, he is a freak. You definitely got to have. Yeah.
I mean, you got Corey Sanhagen's fight tonight, and from what I understand, you picked him up from high school basketball.
16 years old.
That's nuts. Remember him?
I mean, remember him when he came in like in high school.
Yeah, dude.
Training.
I found a picture the other day of that day. We used to take pictures of people on their first day. He doesn't even look like him. Just some skinny kid.
Dude, just a fucking. He looked like a kid that would just be reading books all the time.
He looked like a kid that would get beat up.
He's a kid that got bullied. Like, honestly, like, really. And I mean, even today, he still looks like he'd get bullied.
And he, that so.
Until you did that, he got fucked
up. Corey Sanhagen is what happens when a person spends 20 years with Christian Allen. You know what I'm saying?
Just, you know, it's funny you bring up that name because shit, bro. I the other day when he was sparring in the cage, you know, we were there for Gagey. And I'm watching fucking Corey spar his last go. And I said, fuck, Christian. I had a fucking second. I almost fucking thought that was you up there.
Right?
It's crazy. I swear to God, I thought that was fucking Christian Allen.
I've had that moment so many times where you're looking at him and you're like looking at Christian 2.0.
Yep.
I think Corey keeps it more playful than Christian, which is cool, right?
Because
Christian was very serious.
Yeah.
And I mean, Christian likes to play.
So Christian Allen was a fucking 145 pounder.
Yeah.
And he was probably. He would go with guys like Dwayne, that was probably, 175?
I saw him go with Carwin.
Yeah. And he could hold his own and fucking, like, I remember going with Christian on sparring day, and I'd be like, fuck, what's he going to fucking hit me with today?
Yeah, bro, it's not even
fair. He's Corey. You want to watch Christian? Watch Corey tonight.
He was like some dude showing up in the old West with a fucking laser gun or something. It was not fair, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Yeah, so besides all the whole fighting deal, right? Like, you got two kids now?
Yeah, two kids. I got a 4-year-old and I got a 1.5-year-old.
Yeah, so you're kind of just like me. I got a 5-year-old and I got an 8-month-old. Holy fuck, dude. What?
It's crazy.
That's my biggest battle right there.
Yeah, my 1.5-year-old, her name is Maeve, and she knew like maybe 5 or 6 words up to this point, and then went to bed one night and woke up the next day, and it was like something in her brain grew, and she knew 30 words, and she was mouthing off first day, just like talking shit. Well, she went from knowing a few words to talking shit.
Yep,
I got my hands full, dude.
Yeah, I know, dude. I'm telling, and you have 2 girls, right? The 2 girls.
Yep.
So. I got 1 of each, and I told my wife, I said, I think we're good, man. I'm about to go to the fucking butcher market and get my shit snipped, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm on the fence. Like, I still, I don't know.
You think we've
been talking about a third. Uh-huh. We've also been talking about, like, this is already a lot.
We're good.
Yeah.
I know. I'm good. I'm cool. But I also in a different category.
Yeah.
I have a boy, which I think every guy wants a boy.
I don't, and I want one.
Really?
Yeah, I want a boy.
And to me, it was more like, it wasn't like, when I first had Eva, I was like, dude, this having a girl is the best thing I've ever had, dude, right? Oh, I mean,
yeah.
Like, everybody's like, oh, you're gonna have a boy to have your fucking fun with him and do this and that. I'm like, I have way more fun with my daughter than I thought I'd ever have, you know what I mean? Like, we can shoot bows out here. I can do whatever I want, and she can be a little princess all the time.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it. Now, Marcus was born, and I was like, yes, man, someone to carry on my family name, that part. Yeah. I wasn't really I'm not really, like, gung-ho on, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get him. He's going to be my little hunting partner. I think my daughter's going to be my little hunting partner, too. But 9-day difference. Like, right now when Marcus, like, fussy and went, I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Like, man up, buddy.
Yeah.
Man up.
But when Eva was cries and shit, I'm like, oh, man, I got to take care of you. It's so weird.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I'm like, I am content with my 2 daughters. They are easily the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Period. Right? Yeah.
But, you know, I am a leader of men, right? I have 400 students. They're not all men, but a lot of them are men. And then I got the fight team. And I do this crucible work with Vinny, right? This church stuff, this leading men. So I'm very passionate about that, about building men and that. And what better opportunity than, you know, to build a good man than to have a son. So that's the thing that I am longing for. I don't think it doesn't have anything to do with my daughters. I love my daughters and they, you know, they give me everything I need there, bro. Yeah. But yeah, I would be passionate about that. You know, a lot of my fighters are starting to have kids, right? Mm-hmm. Neil Magny, another one of my favorite athletes that I work with,
that's
right?
Another fucking beast.
Neil has a son now. Yep. And that's cool. It's cool to watch, man. Really, really cool.
Yeah, dude, it's so weird because like I look back like that picture we had like Tyler Toner. He's a firefighter now.
Yep.
And straight up one of my best training dudes right there. He's he looks like a fucking guy. That's why I say like you can't judge a book by its cover, right? Like Tyler was a dude that you would look like a Corey Sandhagen. Just
Could you imagine him, Corey, and Gaethje all getting picked on in the same bar?
Yeah, just
night?
A couple of dudes
that don't look the part, right? Like
and then they just fucking wrecked.
Yeah, like well, it's like you, like for instance, like you walk in, you look like a fucking Viking, right? Like
thank you
when you have a fucking beard and fucking
gnarly ears,
yeah,
and your cauliflower face, like you,
and you're big. You're a big ass dude. You're tall and like. I'm gonna have to be real fucked up to pick a fight with you.
But those guys, they just look like some dudes.
I know, dude.
My favorite moment in MMA to this day, and there's been a lot of great moments, is when Tyler, I forget the name of the opponent, but he fought this dude in the Ring of Fire. Maybe it was LFA. And he lost the first two rounds bad.
Ring of Fire.
Yeah, but and then the dude starts gassing, and Tyler just won't quit.
Won't quit.
Tyler keeps bringing it. Gets this third round stoppage, a standing TKO.
Yep.
Bro, I look around the room, and all of us that knew him, we were all crying. I mean, it was one of the most magical moments in sports or in fighting. It was fucking awesome.
I remember that. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And
Toner's he's a gangster too, bro. He's one of my favorites, man. Good dude.
You know what's crazy is like the hardest fight that I remember us back in the day was when you fought Ian Berg.
Oh yeah.
How
scrapped.
How fucking crazy was that fight?
Oh fuck, bro. So I went into that fight with a broken nose.
Oh
right?
Really?
Right. You had a broken nose. And the first thing that Ian did was punch me in it.
Fucking ice start watering.
Fucking shatter my nose, bro. And then like maybe 20 seconds later, I break my left hand on his head.
Yep.
Right? And then he's a beast, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, that was maybe the toughest fight I ever had. And it was my second fight ever. Right? And we became friends right afterwards. He's a good dude. I mean, he's close with you guys. You guys hunt and shit, right?
Yep,
Yeah, I like Ian, man. I always liked Ian.
That fight was crazy because I didn't know Ian that well. I knew you.
Yeah.
Right? And I knew him from, I want to say Cowboy, because they would go train over at with like Vic Bravo and all those guys.
Yep.
And I met him there, and he was like super cool dude. And then I was like, oh, fuck, these two are fighting? Like, I had no idea.
I met him and saw how strong you were. He's shorter than me, so he carries a lot more muscle. And I was fucking scared, bro.
Dude, he's
fucking one of the most scared.
Left hook Lenny, man. He fucking had a left hook from hell, too.
He dropped me twice in that fight.
Yeah. And that was a back and forth fucking brawl. That was the Ring of Fire days, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You guys fought to a draw that fight, right?
Yeah, fought to a draw. It was a elimination bout.
Yeah.
Amateur thing.
Won it, right?
Here's the deal. So they gave me the win, right? So there were no draws allowed in elimination bouts, and they have to, you know, that goes round by round, and then they have to choose a winner based on the entirety of the fight.
Okay.
Right? So they give it to me. But, I mean, based on what? Like, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
It was a draw. Like, I definitely don't consider that fight a win. I mean, I think everybody wins when you get that bloody, you know. But yeah,
the fans won. That was that was the first MMA event that I ever went to.
Oh, really?
And I was, dude, I was scared for you.
We fucked each other up.
Oh, no, it was bad, dude. That canvas,
it was straight up sock 'em bock 'em robots, dude. Yeah. That fight, it was
the coolest thing that nobody saw but me and him was there was an event, some kind of MMA event that Sven Bean put on, like 3 or 4 days later. And it was like a charity thing, and Berg and I both show up, and both of our eyes are swollen shut. So we're sitting there talking to each other, and we're doing this, like trying to open our eyes so we can see each other. Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
Damn. Yeah, those are, fuck, dude. That was probably, what, 2012, 13?
Yeah, I don't even know.
10?
Maybe even earlier. I would say, if I was going to guess, I'd say 8.
Yeah.
7 or 8. Yeah, 8 or 9, maybe.
We're fucking old, Cody.
I know, dude.
Are you going to be 40?
Yeah, I'll be 40 in February.
I'm going to be 40 in November, bro.
Fuck. Soon.
Dude, yeah. Soon. It's almost a month away, dude. I know. So here's a little story that I want to just tell all the listeners. Do you remember when you and I went to fucking Saudi Arabia in the Middle East? It was back in 2009.
Bahrain, right?
Yep. And you came in to corner me.
Yep.
Right? Dude.
Good times.
It was a great time, but do you remember that part? Like, we'll talk about the whole trip, but in the fight, but do you remember the part when we walked into a bar? Yeah. Fucking Star Wars
Tatooine, fucking, right? Most Mos spaceport, bro. Totally.
Dude, we walked in. Like, do you remember, like, how many fucking transvestites we saw?
Yeah, so it's like this bar is, it was so crazy. There was literally, within like 2 seconds, I watch a bunch of
Asian
a bunch of Asian dudes dressed like chicks walk by, then a bunch of Irish jockeys, like horse riders,
yep,
that were like 3 feet tall,
yep,
and then a bunch of Nigerian basket players that were like 8 feet tall, all just past each other. I was like, dude, we're in Star Wars. This is fucking crazy.
It was so fucking crazy. And I remember you looking at me like, that dude's a girl.
Yeah.
And that girl's maybe another guy.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah. That's, look at that's all a dude. The fake, that's a dude. Like,
they had so much foundation on.
Yeah.
And it was just so weird.
Yeah.
Right.
So then there was these other girls there. I'm just going to preface this story by saying that I was single at the time and I had not met my wife yet.
Yeah.
I also didn't do anything wrong, but I'm just going
to... No, yeah. But at the same time, before you say this, these fucking military bunch come up to me, yeah, or come up to us. It's like, hey, don't be fucking around with any of the fucking chicks around here.
Yeah.
A lot of them are dudes, and I got a couple of my buddies going back home with HIV.
Yeah.
And I was like,
they found out the hard way.
Yeah. And then he says, and the ones that aren't dudes, they're going to mug you.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to one of the ones that's not a dude. It's a beautiful chick. So there was all these girls there from Somalia, right? And they all looked like models. I mean, there's like 10 of them in a group, and these are the most gorgeous Somali girls you ever seen in your life, right? And I'm talking to one of them, and I'm, you know, I'm like, look, I'm like, oh man, this girl likes me. I'm talking to this girl, and they keep whispering to me, dude, do not talk to that girl. Sure enough, one of the other dudes,
the Alaskan guy,
he leaves with her, and she's like, let's go to this coffee shop. They go to a coffee shop. As soon as they get in, the doors lock. A couple of guys with meat cleavers come out, and they said, give us your ATM card, and they emptied his ATM. Took all his money.
Straight up, bro.
Like kidnapped, held him hostage.
I literally begged you, and I was like, yeah, man, dude. And you were like, no, dude, they're beauticians.
She's beautiful. Yeah,
they're beauticians.
Yeah. And I'm she's like, a hairdresser.
They're
she's
not
hairdresser.
Beauticians, yeah, motherfucker. They're not beauticians. They're going to take everything you got. I was like, I'm not going with you, bro. And, well, remember the fucking locals that we hooked up with?
Those two crazy kids that drove us around. Yeah.
Dude. Well, that one night, dude, we were there and fucking, we go in like fucking, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night to this bar. We come out and it's fucking daybreak. It was like that scene off of Varsity Blues when you walk out of the bar.
Yeah, except we're from Varsity Blues to Black Hawk Down. Because we start walking through this neighborhood and everyone's coming out and staring at us. And like,
dude,
I mean, it got scary, dude.
It got, well, and those other guys from... I don't know where they were. Sean but
those
Vegas.
Those two kids we hooked up. Yeah. When we say hooked up with, we don't mean hooked up with, first of all.
They drove us around.
Yeah, we became buddies
they
with
showed,
them.
They showed us a good time. Although, fuck, you remember the beers?
That doesn't help. They showed us a good time.
And I
they,
know.
It was these two young Bahrainian dudes that like wanted to be friends with us, and they drove us around a little bit, and they loved Guns N' Roses. That's all I remember.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Guns,
you're
they were
right.
like, Guns N' Roses, Guns
yeah,
N' Roses.
Yeah, dude.
Like, yeah, man, Guns N' Roses.
I'm still Facebook friends with that fool.
Yeah. Yeah,
that cool. one dude, I forget his name, but
we traded that gym out there. That was fun.
Yep. Remember? Well, and well, he and you were, they were calling him the Jolly Green Giant because he's, I mean, he's a monster compared to most people, right? Anyways, but to the Middle Easterns, he, I mean, they're like my size.
Yeah.
Like I'm 5'7", right? You towered every yeah. fucking buddy.
When we got there, there was like a cultural liaison with the fighting organization that like taught us, said, here, you know, the do's and don'ts. Like, while you're here, do this, don't do this. And one of the things they said was like, under no circumstances are you allowed to take your shirt off in public except for when you're fighting, right? So him and I are in the weight room. The weight room's in the basement of this place. Mm-hmm. We're lifting weights. He's cutting weight. I was lifting weights. And then we're about to get in the elevator, but we're all just in shorts, right? I think he's in a towel. I'm in shorts.
Yeah.
And we're like, fuck it. Let's just get on the elevator and we'll ride it up to our room. We'll be fine. We won't run into anybody. You're like, okay. The other thing that they tell us is there's like, if the women are wearing the black outfit, like, you know, like the black sheet over their face and the black hood and stuff, this liaison lady, she goes, treat them as a shadow. She goes, don't speak to them. It's rude if you speak to those ladies, right? Those
yeah, because they can't say anything to you at all.
You're not allowed to talk to those ladies. Just act like they're not there. And I'm like, all right, cool. So we get in this elevator. We start riding to our room. It stops on the next floor. Doors open. Six ladies get in. All dressed in black with the things on their face, and we got no shirts on.
I'm in a towel that's yeah. fucking straight, like I'm cutting weight, dude.
A washcloth.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much, I'm cutting weight. Like yeah.
we're dripping sweat, so we're just awkwardly like, oh no, we're gonna get there. You know, we're gonna get in trouble. You know, we're young at the time. We're like, our mind's going to the worst place. Like, we're in the Middle East.
Well, yeah, we didn't want to get beheaded. That's what that was a lot that was going on. The fucking
yeah, that's what was going on. Back
war
then.
Was going on.
Yeah,
when we were there.
Yeah, and like, you know, Bahrain's a pretty tame place. It's actually. The Bahrainian people are fucking awesome, by the way. They were one of the most hospitable countries I've ever been to. But at the time, we're young kids and we're scared. So the elevator gets to our floor, and no, it didn't get to our floor.
No, they got out first.
Yeah, they got out first. The door opens, they get out, and we're just sitting there sweating, looking at each other. So we're so scared. And then this voice comes from the hallway. What'd she say?
Nice buddy.
She goes, nice buddy. And then we go, ah! We start like high-fiving.
Dude, it was so crazy because we were like, oh, we're fucked, dude. We're fucked. And they
get out. So that was inspiring for me because I was like, you know, that was one of the first times that I got to travel the world. You know, and since then, I travel everywhere, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the first of many now.
Yeah, it just confirmed to me that, like, wherever you go, people are people and people are cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People are people and people are cool. Those chicks dressed in those black outfits that we weren't supposed to talk to.
Oh, my God.
They said, nice body. You know?
I know.
And it was fun.
I remember those fucking Alaskans, dude. They didn't give a fuck. They were pissed. Remember on the fish market, they were pissed in the middle of the street when we left that bar?
Yep.
And I was like, dude, let's go. Let's get the fuck out of here. I'm not hanging out with these guys.
Yeah.
And sure shit, they ended up getting fucking, he got snitched up and got his fucking bank account just drained. Yep.
Well, bro, we all almost got stuck there. So like the last day that we're there, this letter gets slipped underneath our door.
Oh my God,
dude. It says your room's not paid for. You need to leave. So we called the promoters. We're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
They were having some financial issues because they didn't sell any tickets to the fights, right?
Yep.
So the only people who watched Luke fight was like a bunch of fucking princes, like literally.
Like,
right?
It was like now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like fighting now.
Like
no
fighting
crowds.
Now.
Yeah.
No crowds.
Yeah.
Just the royal family and shit that's in a little.
Yep. So we had no tickets home. We had our flights got canceled home, and we were going to get kicked out of the hotel. So we were just like, we're going to be sleeping in the desert? We didn't even know.
I was like, fuck, I need my money, motherfucker. I didn't come all the way over here.
And then we ended up getting stuck there maybe 2 or 3 days extra, and then we flew home.
Yeah, it was crazy, dude.
Then we saw M from James Bond at Heathrow.
Yep.
Remember
that? I do
the lady that plays M in James Bond. We saw her at the airport.
Yep.
That's how it ended.
We were in London, wasn't it?
Yeah, London at Heathrow.
We had to stay like a day in London, didn't we?
But they didn't even give us, we didn't get a hotel room. We had to stay in the airport for 24 hours. Yeah.
Didn't we take a cab?
That was on the way there.
Was it? Yeah, that was on the way there. That was a miserable fucking flight, dude.
It was. That whole thing was fucked up. But what, hey.
What an experience.
Yeah, good experience.
Have you been to Fight Island yet?
So I've been to Yaz Island, yeah. But it wasn't during quarantine. I went last year when Curtis fought Amir. I forget how to say his last name.
Yeah, but you've been there. Same place.
Same hotel, everything. Yeah,
okay.
The W, all that. I was there, yeah.
Break it down to me a little bit. What's it like?
It's cool. Man, it's cool. The people from the UAE, those are the Emirati people, the Emiratis, right? They're cool. They're great. I mean, they're great. They're great to us. Uh-huh. You know, when you're there, they're going to treat you real well. The accommodations are amazing. The food is world class. Like, you know, chefs and stuff everywhere.
Really?
So a really nice experience. I wasn't crazy about how they treated the help. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw the same people working every day for 24 hours a day. You know, and I've heard some crazy shit about the conditions that those people are in. So I'm not stoked about all that. But you know, Vinny and I rode the fastest roller coaster in the world.
We really
went to a fun party. Curtis fought really well. You know, me, Sean Madden, and Vinny went on that trip, and it was a fun trip. It was cool.
So it's pretty much the same thing that in the island, but yeah. Now it's Fight Island.
You know, it's called an island, like a quote island, but it's, it's a 2-minute drive over a bridge from Yaz Island to the mainland proper or whatever. And then it's just this big island covered in hotels and amusement parks. There's a Disneyland type thing. There's this Ferrari land that's dope.
Really?
Yeah. It's cool.
I hope I get to see some of that shit.
Yeah, you will. So from what I understand, as soon as you cross the bridge, you're just quarantined to the island. Not your hotel.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because the military's not letting people on and off, so you can come. From what I heard, you can go wherever you want on that island.
Okay.
You need to ride that roller coaster, dude. It's the fastest one in the world.
I'm a little bitch when it comes to things like that, dude. Gaethje knows.
It was crazy.
I'm scared of that shit, dude.
It was crazy, yeah.
Damn, fuck that. I don't know about no roller coasters. I don't know. I hate them. I mean, I like them.
Yeah.
When I get done with them, I like them. Getting on them, I'm a little screaming bitch.
So, you know, full disclosure, before I got on this thing, I ate a little edible. And this thing kicks in right as I sit down, you know, and I don't really handle edibles well.
Yeah.
This thing starts moving and it's turning sideways and I'm just watching the desert go past. And I'm just thinking about how fragile humans are and my mortality.
I'm gonna fucking leave. It was messed up. Right now.
It was the beginning of a short panic attack. It was pretty intense.
Dude, fuck that. I get bad enough trip off edibles, let alone to be fucking on a roller coaster. The world's fastest one.
Fastest one in the world.
God damn. You remember how fast those motherfuckers drive down there though when they drove us around?
Oh yeah.
There's
dangerously.
Fucking just fucking crazy. Crazy, crazy.
Yeah, that's cool. I enjoyed that trip, man. That was fun.
What was back to your fighting career, what was probably one of your most memorable fights in the UFC and stuff?
You know, I've been thinking, I'll answer that, but I've been thinking about my fight career differently. You know, nowadays, because if I only go off of my wins and losses and the amount of times that I fought, there's not a lot there. I was a professional fighter for, you know, 12 years or something, but I was just riddled with injuries and honestly spent most of my time as a professional training partner, right?
Oh, yeah.
Flying around helping Nate Marquardt and Brennan Schaub and Rashad Evans and all of these guys prepare for their teams. Some camps in Montreal and a lot of time then at Jackson's and Albuquerque and that stuff. And I've been, you know, my takeaway was that I basically just got the greatest internship in coaching that anybody could have ever gotten, right? I got to watch Trevor Whitman and Greg Jackson and Firas Sahabi. And I got to watch these creative, you know, brilliant coaches.
Phil Nurse.
Yeah, exactly. Write game plans and just fucking so special, right? So if I had to pick the specialist moment, it would have just been that. I think if there was one thing that stood out, One time in Albuquerque, we did a camp where I think GSP and a few other guys were in camp at that time and had organized for all of the best coaches from around, mm-hmm. you know, any coach that was affiliated with the team showed up, as well as all the fighters. It was like a calling all hands thing. And they ran this week long, like boot camp type thing where it was so cool, bro, where you would literally, like, there was a schedule and you would get, you know, Phil's going to teach at 7, Mike Van Arsdale is going to teach the next class, then Greg, then, you know, it was, at the time, I didn't understand how special it was, but it was a very, very cool thing to be a part of. They topped it off by sending us down to the sand dunes at the end of the week.
Oh, which sucked.
Murdering us. Yeah, it was the worst thing ever.
I remember that shit.
But that was probably the most special moment in my career.
Did you stay at the dorms?
Nah, Elliot, and Cowboy were staying at a hotel down the street.
Yeah, that's what.
That was before Cowboy moved down there.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I never stayed at the dorms. Leonard Garcia wanted me to stay with him a couple times.
I think they were just building the dorms.
No, they had the dorms there, and I lucked in there, and I was like,
I love Leonard, man.
I'm going to fucking, I think Leonard. It was me and Elliot that drove down there a couple times, and we were like, let's just get the hotel room. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what we did. We never did the fucking dorms deal.
Albuquerque's ghetto is fucked too, bro. Sorry if you're from Albuquerque. I don't mean
it is though.
Oh, they know. Bro,
my car's been broken into like 10 times down there.
Yeah, it's just fucking.
It's like Bahrain.
Yeah, this one time, this dude walks up and opens his jacket, you know, and it's like me, Rashad Evans, just a van full of bad motherfuckers. This guy opens up his jacket, he's like, "Yo, you want to buy a watch?" We're like, "No." Nah. He's like, "What about a shaving kit?" We're like, "Nah, man, we're good." He goes, "Fuck you, then."
Yeah,
like wanted to fight us because we didn't want to buy a stolen shaving.
Goddamn, he would have got fucked up.
He would have got fucking. Oh,
fuck. But
best fighting moment. I mean, Australia was pretty special. I fought on two cards that Conor McGregor was on. One when he like wasn't a big deal yet, and one when he was a big deal. And that was kind of a special thing to witness. Yep. Just to kind of watch see the rise of Conor McGregor was pretty special.
I think Salas fought on one card when I cornered him, and McGregor was the main event.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
What a shit show. All those motherfucking, because you're fucking, and I get it, because you're fucking, you party hardy too.
Sure.
That's in your blood.
Yeah, I'm Irish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we drink.
No, 100%.
Yes.
And when you have Conor McGregor fighting, and you bring fucking all these fucking Irishmen in, dude, it's a fucking crazy fucking time.
It's nuts, bro. When I at the O2 Arena in Dublin, I fought on that card the same night that Conor fought Brendau. It was literally raining beer. I'm not exaggerating. Like, everybody in that place threw their beer, a full beer, as high as they could up in the air, and it was raining beer.
Yeah.
It was. I never seen anything like it.
Yeah, fucking crazy. Nuts. That'd be fucking sweet, though, right?
Like, they did it in Boston too. He was on the undercard in Boston, or not the under. Maybe the open. He was like an opening fight on the main card. And he fought Maxwell. Yeah, I think right. And same thing. All the people of Boston went crazy and threw beer.
Guarantee. I mean, there's tons of Irishmen over there. Yeah, he is a huge following. What do you think about this fucking Gaethje and Khabib fight? Like,
I love it. I love it, bro.
Like, I think Russia is way, I mean, obviously it's a bigger country than Ireland. Do you think it's going to be bigger than the McGregor-Khabib fight?
You know, I don't know that any, I think that anything that Conor attaches his name to becomes the biggest thing.
Huge, right? I know.
He's a superpower, you know? But this is a big fight. I mean, you know, the Russians are all in. Gaethje's got a million followers, and I would say half of them are Russians, you know?
It's crazy.
It's a big fight. Big, dude. This is a big one.
I know.
And this is the one that, you know, this is the one people want to see now. You know, everybody wanted that.
Tony.
But Gaethje just tore him apart, you know, and this became the fight.
Yeah.
They're both great dudes. Obviously, in this situation, I'm pulling for Gaethje because he's our guy, right?
Yep.
In any other situation, I'm always rooting for Khabib. He's one of my favorite fighters. I like the way he gets down. I model a lot of my ground systems off of shit that he does, you know?
Yeah. So effective. Fucking
go Gaethje, bro. I'm, you know.
Yeah. We fucking leave on Wednesday for that bitch, and I'm like, dude, I'm the more I sit back and think about this, like, I'm fucking so lucky to be a part of this. It's fucking sweet.
This is a huge thing, bro. Think huge about this. This is a huge thing in MMA history. You are going to Fight Island for that fight, for the biggest, you know, the biggest quarantine fight, right? Who knows where the world's headed, but this is a...
I know.
Dude, if he wins, that will be one of the biggest lightweight fights in the UFC.
Yep.
Ever.
No,
ever.
That'll be
history-making right there.
Yeah. And he can do it, dude. He can do it. He's going to do it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking hell, but he can do it.
I think he can do it. I do. And I think he's had a great camp. Obviously, I don't want to get into the details of his camp, but I think he's had a great camp.
It's crazy because, like, I was talking to Trevor about it, too, and I'm like, ah, he looks better this week because, like, he's just been getting tired and tired. And I was talking to Trevor. I was like, I guess this is normal. Every camp I get worried because, like, you know, you forget, like, what his body is going through all the time. Like, it's different, right? Hell. Remember that.
And some days you're the hammer, some days you're the nail. Right? Yep. If you're winning every day, that's not what a good camp is made of.
No, and it's not good training partners either, yeah.
There's a forge, right? A man has to be battle-hardened throughout his camp, and that happens by being broken, right? It's like making a sword. You make a sword by heating that shit up and folding it and beating the hell out of it, and that's how you turn ore into like a beautiful killing machine, and the same thing happens with a man. So when you're seeing it happen, it can't happen too much, but when you're seeing it happen, you have to recognize it for what it is.
And I think that's what made us so good as a camp when we were fighting.
Yeah.
We had the best of the best, let alone the best of the coaching staffs that we had.
Yeah.
We were all sharpening each other, dude.
Dude, you look at some of those old pictures and everybody made it to the big show. That doesn't happen in other rooms.
No.
There's literally a picture. It's not the one you guys put up. It's this one where Greg Jackson and a couple other guys were in town.
I know
the one, right?
Yeah.
Trevor used to have it blown up on his wall.
He still does?
Yeah.
He has it in the office now.
Everybody in that picture made it.
It's huge.
What the hell?
I think Holly Holm was in that motherfucker still, too.
Yep, young Holly Holm was in there.
Rashad, I mean, it was who's who.
Yeah. It's crazy, bro.
I know, dude. It's nuts. That's why I don't know. I guess I don't. Do you get, like, just feel like an everyday deal? Like, I mean, you run a school down in Arvada, right? Aurora.
Yeah, Aurora.
And, like, some of the kids that come in, they're like, God, you know, they're still, like, starstruck on, like, probably some of the people that come in, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And same thing, like, going to airports or going to eat with Gaethje, and just people stop and, like, oh, can I get a picture with you?
Yeah.
I forget, like.
Yeah, me too.
Like, how cool it is, like, after it's done, like, we were running Red Rocks with Gaethje a couple weeks ago. These kids were fucking taking senior photos.
Yeah.
With the thing, they were driving by, their mom was driving them by. Literally turned around, came back, and asked for a picture. And I'm like, God damn, dude. I just forget, like, why the fuck you want to get a picture with Gaethje?
Well, we've been doing this forever, right? I mean, I remember one time I had this talk with one of my wife's cousins. We're watching fights, right?
Uh-huh.
And then some guy comes on. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know him. Another guy comes on. Oh, yeah, I met him. Oh, yeah, I know him. I do this like 20 times.
Yeah.
You know, and he kind of sarcastically is like, oh, what? You know everybody in fighting? You know? And I was like, but shit, I guess I do. I don't know. You know what I mean?
I mean, realistically,
like,
yeah.
A bunch of people who back in the day was just some quiet dude in the room or just some chick in the room. The ones that kept coming, the ones that stuck around, they're all fighting for titles and shit now.
Like Michelle Watterson was the one.
That's a perfect example, right? And if you're around long enough, I mean, now there's, you know, so many camps and so many people coming up in different rooms that I only know these people because I'm studying them so that my people will beat them, right? But,
I mean,
bro. There's a generation that graduated.
Yeah, I mean, you know? There's you have the new generation like Gaethje. And then you got guys like Cowboy Cerrone.
Yeah.
Fucking literally with us.
That was our homie forever. Still is, man. I love that dude.
Yeah.
Well, you know, life has pulled us in different directions. I'm not super close with Donald anymore. But, bro, Donald calls tonight and says, yo, hey, it's going down. I need you.
Let's go to the Stampede.
I might say, I have kids. Yeah, the Stampede.
Let's go to the Stampede.
It's Wednesday. We're going to Stampede.
We're going to Stampede. And we did, dude.
Oh, yeah, we used to tear it up.
We fucking did. We teared it up down there. That shit was fun with him and Mikey. And
yeah.
Fucking, it was always like me, you, Mikey, Cowboy, Leonard.
Yep.
That was that. I mean, that was a fucking, we used to go fucking party hard.
That was a squad. Arturo. We'd bring Arturo from
Arturo.
He was
fuck
there.
Yeah, dude.
Arturo didn't do MMA, but he was a gangster.
Jiu-Jitsu, right? Yeah. Fuck yeah, I love that dude.
He's a gang. I miss that guy.
Yeah. Is it, where's he living at?
I think from what I understand, he is a combat medic in the army. Mm. He's at like helicopters or something like
dude,
that.
Dude, he was only like 5 foot.
Tiny little dude.
Tiny little dude, but when he grabbed you, you were fucked.
Yeah, he's a little killer.
A little fucked.
That was my that was my homie, bro. Me and him went to high school together.
Right? Yeah. Oh, fuck.
You know, it was another fun time. When you and your hunting crew took me on that pig hunt, and I killed that pig with the knife.
Oh, yeah. Who?
That was scary.
That's what Drew Home and Slaughter, right?
Yep.
They organized. Dude, we took that fucking RV. Remember?
Bro.
Oh,
so
my
fun.
God, dude. We got so shit-faced going all the way there.
Killing that pig was crazy.
Yeah.
It was like the most shocking thing I've ever done in my life.
Who? Was that when Dash went with us?
No. He went on the next
one. No, that was when Copeland.
This was Copeland, me, you. I brought one of my buddies, Drew Myers.
Yep, I remember Drew. Yep.
Yeah, that was
I think that was the first time I ever took Adderall. And I was in a tree.
Wired.
I was wired in a tree stand, fucking sitting there all night, freezing my ass off. But every fucking raccoon and armadillo died that night when they came by my tree stand. No fucking pigs, but I killed the fuck out of shit out of
armadillos. I turned that pig into breakfast sausage and Italian sausage and ate for a year and a half. Yep. So good.
Dude, I forget. Remember we did that little shotgun course, too?
Yeah.
We learned how to run shotguns.
Combat shotgun course.
Yep.
That was super fun.
Put on. Dude, that was a fucking good time.
I like him, man. I like Slaughter. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yep. He's down in Texas now, Waco.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he lives down there.
Got a compound going?
Yeah, he really does, dude. Yeah. Like land. Like, he sold his house up here and bought a fucking good spread of land and everything. He's doing good. He comes back here a lot. Yeah. He works still here. And
you have to tell him I said what's up.
I will.
Yep.
Damn, that was a fucking good time.
It was. We got after it.
Yeah, that was fun. I didn't like to drive home.
You killed
though.
A pig with an AK-47, didn't you?
I think it was just an AR. 308.
Yeah.
It was my 308, that fucking deal. Yeah. Those guys were fucking crazy, damn.
Because they had them buggies and shit. So even if you weren't hunting, you were just driving buggies around in the jungle.
It was crazy. It was I've not been to Texas like that again, ever again. Like,
that was
a different climate.
That was lawless Texas, bro. We got on that ranch and it was just
danger, like, Dangerfield.
Yep.
Dangerfield, Texas. It was different. It wasn't like when I go to Texas now. It's like I go by San Antonio now, and it's more deserty fucking. Yeah. But that was like all green and fucking.
Yeah, on the east side.
Yeah. That was crazy.
I've done a couple of pig hunts on the west side. I got a buddy down there named Billy that takes care of me and my friends, and it's fun, man. We've had some really good hunts. You know, and in Texas, you get to get away with some stuff you don't get to do here. You know, we're doing we're standing up in the back of Jeeps.
It's awesome.
Mounting our rifles and
I know,
shooting from
it's
Jeeps
the best.
And stuff. You feel like a special forces.
I always tell my wife, I said, if I ever move, I'm moving to Texas.
Yeah.
Straight up. It's the Wild West. I love it.
Yeah.
Speaking of hunting, what all tags you got this year, man? What all did you go out for,
So I had a muzzleloader, elk, bear. Saw a ton of bear sign. The elk weren't really making any noise yet.
Yep.
I mean, dude, the opening day, I didn't even know if we were going to get to hunt opening day because they get this like last minute blizzard comes rolling through Grand Mesa and we can't get up the hill. I mean, it's the craziest mud I've ever seen in my life. I got my new truck.
Yep.
And it's not getting up in this mud. We got this trailer stuck. I mean, it was nasty. We ended up having to like wait 2 days for the roads to harden. And then we get up there. It was good hunting. I mean, I had a blast. I feel like I learned a lot. You know, I don't just like to gauge my hunts off whether or not I'm successful with harvesting. Cause
fucking welcome to my world.
Yeah, you know, because I guess I'm just not a great hunter. But
wait till you bow hunt. Fucking really disappointing.
Yeah. You know, I would say my challenge with hunting recently has been, you know, now that I'm a father, when I'm at home, I'm like longing to be in the woods.
Uh-huh.
But when I'm in the woods, I'm looking at my life and I'm like longing to be home with my kids and my wife, you know, and that's kind of, that's a battle, you know. Not a lot of hunters talk about this, but that's like a very large piece of hunting for me. So I think that this year was success was a success because I handled that well. Like I was able to say, my kids are at home, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yep.
And I'm in the woods, and I'm going to make the best of this while I'm here, rather than like constantly living in two different worlds. You know, because I've done that, where I waste a whole week in the woods stressing about where I wish I was instead of like, you know, appreciating being in the woods. And this year I did that well, which was cool.
Good.
Make sense?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I didn't kill anything. And that sucks. Well,
there's only so few of us that kill fucking state records. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I killed a dink this year. I'll show it to you. I got it up there. It's a pretty cool fucking buck though. I had a couple shots at an elk that I probably should have killed, but I was like, I was hunting private land.
Yeah.
I know the big bulls are there, and I had a big bull come in, and I was fucking hit a tree limb on my bow. But that's when you wish, fuck, why didn't I do a muzzleloader tag? Because it would have been perfect for a muzzleloader.
Yeah, so I have one more tag. You know, my mule deer tag is the 24th.
Yeah, the one's coming up, October 24th. Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's like a month long, ain't it?
And that's a week.
Oh, you got the regular rifle.
Yeah, but I have access to private land for that when I hunt with Drew Myers.
How's he doing?
He's good. Yeah, he's good. A couple years back, I pulled up just a monster buck off that spot. So
there's big bucks over there.
Last year I came so close. I mean, it's so just
another big one.
Yeah, just couldn't make it happen, man. He needed to jump a fence.
What gun do you use for that?
The first time around, I was kind of in some thick stuff, so I used a lever action that I really like. Mm-hmm. It's a large caliber lever action, a 45-70.
Oh yeah, that's a big bitch.
I love that gun. And more than anything, I just wanted to use it, right? Uh-huh. And I felt very comfortable with it. I upgraded, I had a nice pair of Ghost Ring sights on it and stuff, and I feel real comfortable with the gun. I had two guns in the truck, and that was just the one I pulled, went into the woods and got them, you know? Uh-huh. But I have a Savage 7mm Magnum.
Oh, 7mm. Really, oh, yeah, that'll drop that motherfucker, too.
Yeah, it's got some nice glass on it and stuff.
Good.
Loophole, amazing loophole optic. Yeah, Mark V.
That's my company. I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
When's the last time you've been to Texas then?
I go for some family stuff. Shout out to my wife's family.
They live out there?
They live there.
Okay, cool.
So usually when I'm in Texas, I'm spending time with family. So I have something planned, February, March. We're going down with these special forces guys and doing some tactical shooting, and then we're going to hunt some pigs.
Nice. I'm going to go down there in November, I think, end of November, December, to hunt whitetail. But I want to shoot some fucking pigs. Yeah. And I probably do it like in March, I think. So if you want to come, I'll stay in touch with you and talk to you about that. But
I'll be all about that.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I'm always down for pig hunting. That's one of the more fun hunts.
Right.
You know? Every other hunt is hunting. Pig hunting, you get to dress up like a soldier.
Yeah, you get to be a fucking... Yeah, you love that fucking sport.
I just get all decked out.
He does bring all
my fancy gear.
The belt. Yeah, I remember all that shit. Yeah. It's fun. Like you're like a G.I. Joe.
I get to play G.I. Joe and shoot at moving targets that are made of bacon. I mean, it's hard to beat that.
You know? Yeah, and you can shoot multiple of them.
Yeah.
And they get praised. You get praised by doing it.
The last pig I got, we brought back and we gave it to a Battards Women's Shelter. So we processed all the meat, turned it into sausage and gave it to the Battered Women's Shelter.
That's sweet.
That's cool.
Fuck, man. You ready, Codes?
I'm ready.
All right, you ready for this? Let's do let's get ready to do our little full send moment. Where are we going? Clutch problem. Oh, there it is. There it is. Okay, so today we're not going full send. We are checking out Derek Lewis, IG Panji, right?
My balls are hot.
Have you met him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
He fought one of my boys back in the day. He is about to fight. He's fighting Curtis next.
Yeah, I was going to say, he called out Curtis.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fuck, you guys are fighting each other.
For that was a bad call out.
They're fighting in 7 weeks. We're in camp. We're in camp right now.
Holy shit, that's kind of ironic. Okay, cool. Yep. Well, either way, I love this guy's fucking Instagram page. For real, though, Curtis is going to fucking beat him down.
I mean, look, Derek Lewis always has the ways in which he beats people, he always has those ways.
Yeah. I mean, that's why he's there.
Yeah. You know, the guy hits hard as fuck, and he's super durable.
He's getting trimmed, too.
The only person that beats Curtis in this fight is Curtis.
Yeah.
If Curtis don't show up, then Derek's got a shot. But if Curtis shows up,
it's going to be a long
time. Goddamn, 7 weeks. Yeah, that's fucking soon.
It's going to be. It's either going
to
be.
What is that, November?
Yeah, it's the couple days after Thanksgiving.
Sweet.
We have a great game plan. Curtis is very well-rounded and getting better everywhere all the time. So,
yeah.
I like it. Great fight for us.
Wait, was that when he fought Santos? Is that when he knocked him out?
Yeah.
Referee stopped it?
We had a good plan for that one, right? Mm-hmm. We did some subliminal messaging in that fight, right? We sent out we were constantly talking about wrestling. So Dos Santos, I mean, he was thinking about wrestling so much he forgot how to box, and our plan was to actually go out there and box.
Yeah. And I think that was huge on... for Curtis's part to show everybody like he's not just a wrestler.
Yeah.
Especially going against Dos Santos, like he's a G.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, fuck, that was good. All right, what you got, Cody? Which one are we doing first?
Oh,
fuck, I'd rather got hit by the car than do that. What the fuck was he on?
I think he's standing on tires.
He did not land that motherfucker.
Landed on his nose.
Yeah, that's not good. What do you got next? Fuck that. That makes me fucking... What is that? What is that? A cartoon? What the fuck? That was probably one of the most memorable things I remember him. Him talking about... What did he take his pants off?
Yeah, that or when he goes, where are on the fun ass at?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. He's just fucking funny. What else you got for me?
He's great.
He's posting. Well, what the fuck was that?
Dude, that's a boulder.
And that motherfucker just took it like a G. Holy shit, dude.
He's still driving. Oh.
Dude, how crazy is that? This dude, what is he, like a bus driver?
Yeah, he's got to be a tour bus driver or something.
Some fucking dirt clod just came.
A boulder comes right through the window and fucking he just takes it like a man.
Oh.
All right, what else you got?
Here's your boat for you, buddy.
Oh, this is one I wanted. So check this out, Goat.
So romantic.
In the ring or what?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
She stepped on the gas or something?
Oh, yeah, she must have hit the lever just to go, and it's two pontoon boats fucking. They're making look like he must have just proposed to her.
And she just puts her hand on that throttle.
Oh, he did it. He did it. There it is with his right hand.
Oh my god, dude.
That's even better.
That's awesome. Well, there you go. If you want to check it out, check out Derek Lewis, the Beast, UFC. That's what we pulled up today for the full send moment. Man.
You weren't lying about this Kill Cliff. It's good. Cherry lime.
Dude, it's the bomb, huh?
Yeah, damn.
They got a bunch of different ones, man. It's fucking, they're fucking good, man. I like that company, dude. They're the real deal Holyfield. I don't know, Coach. What else? What else do you want? You got any stories about your old coach here?
No, not any good ones. He just used to beat me up all the time.
I think we all used to beat you.
Do you remember that one time that I got a little mouthy in class?
Oh, yeah.
And what time?
Yeah, which time?
I mean, it happened a few times, right?
Yeah.
And you told me that you were going to whoop my ass, and you said, I'm not going to hurt you, but you're going to hurt.
Sounds about right.
Fucking
about
it.
I was like, okay, all right, coach, I'm cool, you know, whatever.
You were scrappy, though, bro, right? You were wiry and scrappy and filled with that little brother rage, you know, like someone's been stepping on me since I was a kid. You step all you want, I'm not breaking. That's what you had in you, right? Unbreakable.
You're the one that got me started my jiu-jitsu career, and I loved it. Remember I used to ask you after every class, teach me something else.
Yeah, show me something. Show me something.
You're a little teacher's pet.
Hey, man, show me something you didn't show them.
Yeah. How long have you been a black belt now for, Cody?
It'll be 9 years in January.
Damn.
Because when you're a black belt for 9 years, then you can give black belts.
You're there.
Yeah, you get your third stripe, and then you're allowed to give black belts. So I'm almost there.
Who you under?
I'm all Easton. My black belt was given to me you know, there was kind of there were three black belts in the room that day. So it was Elliot Amal and Nate Marquardt.
Yeah.
Right. So they didn't, they kind of did it together. Right. So there's that could potentially lead to some messy lineage. Right. But I was training under Elliot Amal at the time, as far as like tracing my lineage. So that would be a Henzo Gracie.
Henzo Gracie. Yeah. It was,
you know, and because Nate had kind of switched over with them through the training, you know, TKO and Grudge and all that stuff. But yeah. Nate,
you've been doing jiu-jitsu for a long ass time, bro.
Yeah, man, I still train a couple of days a week.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, I got to a point where I was just teaching all the time and coaching, but if you're not actually doing it, you're the shit you're teaching, it's like you're just regurgitating some old stuff you remember. It doesn't stay sharp. You gotta keep training. And then I got all these, you know, I got all these young monsters.
Yeah.
I got a blue belt named Zach who can submit me. Like,
oh, blue belt.
Yeah.
He's good.
Bro, he's a killer, right? Played in the NFL, all this
stuff. Oh, he's a monster.
Dude's a killer. And is, you know, one of the most coachable athletes I've ever had, right? So anything you teach him, he just downloads it to his brain and knows it, you know? So that's, you know.
There's only so few of us that can do that.
Being a black belt's tough, dude. Yeah. Being a black belt's tough, man, because, like, everybody expects you to be Master Yoda or some shit. And that, you know, you're still just a dude. You're just a dude that's been doing it a long time, you know?
Yeah, but you're above the average man, though, so don't say you're just...
I tap to some embarrassing shit these days, too, because I'm old. You know, I'm 39 and my body hurts, man. So, like, the other day I'm rolling with Curtis and he locks up a body triangle around me. You know, he's on my back. We're starting in back mount. He starts on my back, locks up a body triangle, starts to just stretch me out, and I tap.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
And then 5 minutes later did it again. But I'm like, you know, I gotta pick up my kids later today.
I gotta play.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I gotta play dolls,
Yeah, dude, yeah.
Straight up. I don't know, man. I'm excited. I'm glad. Here's my deal. Like, I'm glad you came all the way out here.
Fuck yeah.
And got on the show. I, like, honestly, man, where can people find you at?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't go too crazy on social media. My Facebook is updated by my Instagram. My Instagram is Donnybrook Cody, right?
Yep.
Donnybrook
Cody.
But you're going to see a bunch of pictures of my kids and, you know, I keep it pretty regular. I'm not real into the, I don't know. I'm not out there promoting myself maybe like I should be, but if you want to get to know me, you know, you can see me on the mat. You can come to my gym and come.
And where's that at?
High Altitude Martial Arts. That's, it's in Aurora, right?
Which is a fucking sweet ass gym.
It is. Yeah. We've expanded a few times recently, dude. Knocked some walls down and shit. It's getting a lot bigger.
When Nate ran that gym, I remember going there on Thursday nights. Remember the Thursday nights pouring?
Oh yeah. We used to scrap. They still scrap on Thursday nights.
Do they really? Oh, yeah. You guys still do it?
Christian runs it, or some of the other guys. So yeah, man, you can either see me there or you can see me on TV. Right?
I'm on
TV once a month at least right now.
You are on there a lot.
Yeah.
God, I got to give you there because I don't like. It's one of those things like when you're in the moment, you're like, yeah, this is cool, right? Yeah. But then you're like, I'm away from my family.
Yep.
I'm away from like to me. It's like. I'm away from here. Yeah. My plantation, like this is.
Yeah.
I like it here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm good enough just with to be a part of Gaethje's deal, like still, and I'm happy just with that. And granted, it's probably one of the biggest.
Just with that. That's a big deal, man.
It's a big deal, but like you take all that away. Like if he was just a prelim guy, I'd be just as happy with that. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
I like being here. I like being home. I like to be able to be out here in the mountains.
Yeah. I like the road. I like being home. I like both, right? It's a kind of like the hunting thing I was talking about. Yeah. I find my, you know, it's a balance for me. When I'm on the road, I want to be home. And when I'm home, I appreciate being home. But if I'm home for long enough, I long for
the
road. Yeah, just the adventure. I love being around my I would imagine it's what soldiers used to feel back in the day, right? I like being around my brothers. I like the creative outlet of coaching. We come up with these game plans. These new ideas, and then we go do it at the highest level with the highest risk. You tell me something that's more fulfilling and more exciting than that.
I know, dude. It's crazy. We definitely are lucky, the life that we've lived.
Amen, bro. Yep.
Definitely.
I appreciate you having me, man.
Fuck yeah, man. It's been over an hour. We're already talking, dog. I just want to say a big shout out, like, dude, it's been a great time with you in my career, and to see you coach now and still do what you're doing and like the level of athletes that you work with, I'm fucking pretty proud of you, dude.
Thanks, bro.
It's fucking crazy.
It's fun to just be. It's fun to be in the room with you and the rest of the coaches, right? What an amazing group of coaches we get to work
it's,
with.
It's nuts. Like that's why I'm just like I still like I look back and I'm like, God, look at us.
Yeah.
You know
me
what
too,
I mean?
Me too, bro.
We were so fucking broke. Remember, we barely had gas money to get to.
Oh yeah.
Gym A to Gym B and.
Yep.
We were fighting for nothing, and now it's just nuts, dude. It's crazy.
Hell yeah.
On that note. Man, I want a big shout out to my boys over at Tito Knives. Go ahead.
Ultra light, ultra sharp.
I'm waiting for it, dog. That's, yeah. That's like your little key, your little memo deal. Hey, you check out TitoKnives.com. Like I said, it's ultra light, ultra sharp. It's the shit, man. I got to get you one of those knives because you would love it.
Hell yeah, I'll dude, take one.
They're badass.
Yeah,
they're badass. They are sweet. I'll get you one, Code. Sweet. Type in GU15 on the checkout, and you get to save that money on that new blade. The backcountry roll, I think I got like two or three of them coming to the shop. So I'll get you one, Cody, and you guys will be happy, definitely. Well, I should say Skinny Cody and Cody.
We got badass thick, sponsors, dude.
Thick Cody.
That's right.
Dick Cody.
Hey,
now.
That could go to either one of us at this point. Dude. Skinny Cody days
you
are
did,
long.
You did get thicker.
Yeah, you did. On that note, man, what kind of camo did you rock this year for your hunt? What kind of camo you run?
So I have.
Or do you run solids?
I mean, I wear solid colors. I don't wear a lot of camo. Although I do have, I got like a merino wool hoodie that I wear from First Light that I really like. Good.
Yep.
I have a couple of First Light things, but other than that, I just wear solid colors.
Nice. That's pretty much what I've done a lot. Is
you know
a lot
got
of
some badass solids. Cryptek.
You know it, dog. Damn, dear Cody, you fucking chiming in today, dog. You're on point.
I'm trying to get some of that sponsorship money too, Cryptek.
Yeah. Battlefield of the Backcountry, guys. If you type in Gladiators 2020 on the checkout, you get to save 20% on your next purchase. Get some of that high altitude. Highlander, fuck you, name it. Some of the solids, I got to get you some of those too because you'll love them.
I will rock that fucking shit.
Yep, all Cryptek, dude.
I'm familiar with the brand. I love it,
dude. They're awesome. They're comfy. Your buns look nice in them, dude. I'm telling you.
It is like honestly, those guys are fucking awesome. They've been, I mean, you know me, I've been rocking Cryptek since you probably met me and since we hunted fuck back on that big guy. Yeah.
I know some dudes with Cryptek. Paint jobs on their guns.
Oh yeah, fucking sick, huh? Yeah, I know, dude. I know. I want to get one. I don't even have one of those motherfuckers. I'm about to get a fucking wrap though. I think.
Yeah.
Cryptek wrap.
Yeah.
On my vehicle. Yeah, it'll be fucking bad.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, Cody, you might have to pick up some of that Kill Clip, huh? You know who sells that? Elliot sells that at his gym.
I know.
I just
hadn't tried it.
He probably charges an arm and leg too.
I don't know, but it's good.
It's worth every penny.
I'm awake. I was wired there for a second. I was like, "Woo!"
I say this every episode: do not drink it at night. You have to stop with that Ignite by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah,
because you'll be like you were up the other night at seven at night, dude, and it was 4 in the morning. I was still up.
Yeah, it is crazy, dude.
Hanging out.
I love it. On that note, you fucking type in GU15 on your next order from them. And you get to save money with that by listening to this podcast. Cody, did you know I save you all this fucking money? Cody, on that note, I can say this because I killed a fucking buck this year so far. But last year, I didn't kill shit, right? I was fucking sucking. I wounded an animal. I couldn't find it.
That's the worst.
I missed. I sucked last year. I don't know what it was. But this year, I got Mountain Primal, a meat company, to come through, and they sponsor the show, and they come in with a fucking discount code. They ship to all 50 states, and if you type in Unleash 15, you get to save money on that bitch too. So now your freezer's empty right now because you didn't kill shit just like me last year. I can only rub that in because I shot something already. Dude, you should check them out. Dude, they're fucking the shit. I was telling Elliot about them. Elliot was all about because, Elliot likes fucking cooking meat. And
doing that. Yeah, man, Mountain Primal, dude. They're right out of here in Colorado, too. They're fucking good people. I had them on the podcast. And
elk, deer, everything?
Everything, dude. Everything. They're literally the... I was impressed with their pork chops, dude.
Yeah.
They're fucking good. What did we have that one time?
Some of their sausages.
Yeah, man, the sausages delicious. Were so fucking good, dude.
Bear.
Good dudes, too.
I don't think they got bear. I think they just have, like, elk, like, for and bison. I mean, obviously, Highland cattle. But, yeah, it's fucking crazy. It's delicious. It's good. Yeah, they're good beef. Yeah, check them out, Mountain Primal.
Check out that bat they brought for us.
I know. Look at this. You would like that bat.
Oh, yeah. That's sweet. I was looking at that.
That's custom
got
made.
The little skull spike on the bottom.
Yeah, dude. It's the real deal. That's some Viking shit right there.
That's gnarly, yeah.
I know. You would definitely appreciate something like that.
I go to this Viking festival every year up in Vail where we dress up. And this year, you know Matt Bernier?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a shit, right? Yeah. Shout out to Matt Bernier. Guy keeps me held together.
He's a big archery hunter.
Dude, he killed a bear and gave me the pelt, and I wore it to that Viking festival, and I looked so fucking cool.
I bet you did.
I was a berserker. It was great, dude.
Matt's good shit, dude. I like that dude. He came out here and shot with me.
He's the man.
Yeah, he's a good dude. You still go see him? He keeps you in line?
Yeah, I see him once a week, yeah. I've been seeing him once a week for as long as I can remember.
Really?
I mean, I just put the miles on my body, you know? Yeah. He keeps me dialed in. It's good, yeah.
Yeah, Matt's good shit. I need to get a hold of him. I need to have him out here. We'll shoot, and I'll take his money, and then we'll get into a podcast. When are you going to get a bow, Cody?
Well, you know what I keep saying. I mean, yeah. I want, like, my brain's already transitioned from muzzleloader to archery, but anything that I do, I believe in, you know, training and preparation and all that. And, like, I literally cannot find a second to fire a bow.
I know.
So it's like, I'm gonna buy a bow, and then what? I'm going to get up there and suck with it? Like, I don't want to be that guy.
You got to do it.
If I get it, I got to train. Yep. So I'm just moving some things around. I'm making the time, you know?
Yep. You once you do it though, you will fucking love it, right, Cody?
Oh yeah,
this little fucker. He loves it.
It's good. Yeah, it's fun.
I want to.
It's good, man. I love it. I'm so glad I got it. I picked up a bow. I really am. I'm no fucking.
Where do you shoot?
I shoot a Matthews VXR right this year, and it's fucking the shit, dude. It's the shit. I'll take you over my fucking range and have you shoot a couple of different ones. It's fun. You'll like it. No, you won't. It's good. I'll have you even shoot the fucking recurve. You'll like that. That's what, what's the name, likes to shoot a fighter, one of your fighters.
Boyan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been bugging me to come out here. I want to bring him out here and shoot with me. Yeah, he's a good dude. I like that dude.
Boyan's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I got to fucking cut this one out because I got to go piss, dude. I'm peeing my pants lately. These beers going right through me. Who we missing? We missing, I think that's it. My boy, Walls to Walls. I can't forget about him. He hooks me up with all these tumblers. Pretty sweet, right? Flags, keychains. Like I said, for all you patrons, we appreciate you guys for fucking throwing down with us, keeping the podcast rolling. I definitely want you guys, if I have not reached out to you on your email, please DM me because I need to get your full name, address, so I can get all your shit sent to you for being a patron. We got some cool shit coming out your way. Fucking me and Cody tried to do a fucking Halloween giveaway last night, but I was listening to the fucking audio and we were too fucking drunk.
Dude, it was like 15 takes for 1 minute, dude. It was stupid.
That's amazing. You need to find the drunkest one and use that.
No, dude. It's so bad.
Absolute
we're going to do a pumpkin carving contest for the month of October. Pick a winner at the end of Halloween, our episode. You tag us. Yep. Do a deal and you'll get some fucking swag, some giveaways from our partners. So any GU unfiltered logo, if you paint it, what do we say? We paint it, cut it, carve it, whatever you want.
Whatever.
Tag us and we'll put you in the raffle if it's good, you know? So, that'll be fun end of October. That'll be after Gacy's fight. I'll pick a winner. But, yeah, if you're doing them, do it. And, fuck, this will be the last one. Podcast until I come back. So you're gonna be safe,
bro.
Yeah, it'll be good.
We'll be cheering for you.
Yeah, man. I mean, fuck. He wins, we all win, right? I mean, that's it. Like I said, I'm just lucky to be a part of it. On that note, anything we missing?
I don't think so.
I think we're good.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love you guys, man.
Yeah, you too.
It's always been real with you, Cody. It's been fun. We have some
I gotta have you back out here when you're drinking, because it's gonna be a little bit better when you drink. On that note, man, I appreciate you guys all listening. Give my boy Donnybrook a follow. Check him out. He's a great black belt jiu-jitsu instructor, coach of some of the highest level UFC fighters out there. Fuck, who would have thought?
That's nuts.
Right? Who would have thought? I did.
I thought I was the pinnacle of your coaching career, buddy. Here you are. Showed me up. That's a feat, my friend.
I'm blessed. I'm definitely blessed.
Right. On that note, man, we out. I appreciate you coming in. Guys, check out all of our companies, Leopold, Matthews, Gaffaro.net. Check them all out, man. I appreciate you guys listening. And we are out.
Thanks.